Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 19th year. This podcast is sponsored by ICE Barcelona, January 20th through 22nd, 2025, at the Fira Barcelona Gran Via. ICE Barcelona is the complete platform to drive revenues through innovative solutions, technology, valuable insights, and unrivaled networking opportunities. To learn more, visit icegaming.com. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this day we sit down with Justin Carter, the Senior Vice President for Regional Properties for Penn Entertainment, who oversees more than a dozen properties for Penn. Penn Entertainment has a large portfolio of 43 casinos in 20 states. Justin Carter is responsible for oversight of 10 casinos and 4 racetrack casinos in the South and the Northeast. Prior to Penn, Carter worked for Caesars Entertainment in a variety of roles and locations ranging from the Bahamas to South Africa to the UK. He also serves as the chairman of Penn's Diversity Council, which leads the company's diversity, equity, and inclusion program. Carter explains how Penn depends on the GMs and their local properties to run their businesses and how Penn's corporate culture has developed. He spoke with me at G2E in October.
Justin, it's good to see you. We followed you throughout your career, and we're so pleased to see the success that you've made of your career. And you're now overseeing all of the regional casinos, correct?
Yeah. Well, I have 14. We have 43. 14 of the 43 overseas.
Okay. Great. And is it in one region of the company?
No. This is where it gets a bit spicy, Roger. Okay. So we have 10 between Louisiana and Mississippi.
Right.
So a dense population down south, but then Maryland, Maine, Massachusetts, and West Virginia.
Okay.
Which I'm sure you're thinking, how does that math work? But right. Just go with it.
Yeah, no question. Well, some of them are great properties. I've been through a lot of them. I was just going through Mississippi. I know you got the Boomtown property in Mississippi.
Yes, Boomtown. Right. People love that. Yeah. You walk in. There's a tub of beer.
Right.
So it's just what you would think it'd be. It's fantastic.
Exactly. It's definitely a local market down there for sure. So let's start with what how you oversee each of these. You've got this corporate oversight. You know, some companies let their GMs kind of run their own shop. What's the Penn Entertainment's view on that?
You know, Roger. Again, not being my first company and knowing people in the industry, I think we have one of the more unique cultures and approaches where we're more on the other end, what you said. We're decentralized.
Right.
We don't have a large corporate infrastructure.
Right.
So to be such a large company, 43 casinos and everything else we do, but the way that works is the GMs have a ton of autonomy.
Yeah. Okay.
So they could treat it like their business, and they have all the support they need. But when I think about the GMs that roll up to me, they have the ability, and I trust them to run their businesses how they see fit.
Sure.
I'm there to break down barriers and hopefully not make them lose any hair.
Yeah, right. Well, and they know their own markets, I imagine.
Exactly.
Because I've seen companies with the intense corporate pressure there. They come in and they're, you're going to do it this way, and no, that doesn't work in my market. So you listen to them more than impose things on them.
No, absolutely. And to that end, especially in my region, we do a lot of things by committee.
Right.
So we'll meet up and talk about, okay, so what do you need? And from that, we've been able to create some matrix organizations like planning and analysis and other things that's helped everyone, not just some of the larger properties that could have a little extra capital to add positions. But that's really worked out well for us, and it's really helped us be successful.
Okay, great. So Pennsylvania is part of your responsibility, right?
My office is in Pennsylvania, but I don't oversee that part. I skip around it and get Maryland and Massachusetts.
Right. I was wondering how those mini casinos were doing there.
They're doing well. York and Morgantown, they're doing really well, and the leaders there. And once again, we do almost a matrix where we have a large property at Penn National Racecourse and oversight of the smaller. We have general managers there, and it's a unique offering, and they're doing well.
Okay. And Maine has recently got in there. How long has that been open? 2 or 3 years?
Goodness, Bangor has been around, and I don't want to misquote it because somebody kicked me.
Right.
But it's been around since I've been with Penn. We've had Hollywood Bangor, Maine. Right. And that's been almost 10 years.
Before. Okay, that's right. I remember. So, and recently sports betting came into there. Has that helped you out there?
It has. And you know, when I think about sports betting, and you know, it was everybody thought it'd be a panacea.
Right, yeah.
Back when Fast Money was killed, you know, everybody thought people would just flood the casinos and you know, it's a low margin business.
Yeah.
So it's helped us in that it's been able to attract the customer who may not have sought out the casino as their primary entertainment destination. And we've been able to capture them through the offerings, and you know, they'll buy a burger, they'll have some beer while they're there.
Right.
And that's where it comes into creating experiences to make sure that it's worth the time.
Right, exactly. So your loyalty club, I'm blanking on the name.
Penn Play. It's changed the name a few times.
Right, fair enough.
It was my choice.
But yeah, Penn Play, but that goes over to the online gaming side too. So
it does, and that's what we try to leverage.
Right.
Being loyal, Penn Play, you could engage with us through the app. You could engage with us in person.
Right.
And through everything else that we do.
Right. And of course, you gather points, and you can go to any Penn property, especially the one here in Vegas.
Absolutely, right. And which is beautiful.
Absolutely.
I was just there, and the expansion and the new tower.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be absolutely wonderful.
Yeah. Doubling the number of hotel rooms there, so doubling the chance that you can send some of your players there.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, when people go there, they're always so impressed. You know, it's like people who live in Vegas, they all know about the M.
Right.
But when we bring people, you know, you get a bit off the strip.
Sure.
They don't realize that such a jewel of a property is tucked away.
Sure.
So it works out well for us.
So I imagine one thing that all the properties have in common is Penn has a corporate culture that's you know, a pretty unique one. Over the years, you know, I mentioned that Tim Wilmot was a good friend of mine. He's a good friend of mine. He really helped develop that. Kind of bringing the Harris mentality and that, the old Harris mentality, not the new one. And of course, Jay has extended that as well. So how do you use that to you know, encourage your employees in the properties that you have on the side?
You know, I'm having worked for the old Harris back in the day,
right.
And transitioned to Caesars for years. I remember the transition to Penn. And when thinking about, you know, going to a new organization, like you said, the culture, that's what got me.
Right.
It was Tim had set it up.
Yeah.
And, you know, speaking to Jay and his vision, which, you know, 10 years later, it's played out.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, we want people to have a meritocracy.
Sure.
Where if you work hard, you know, you can reap the spoils of it. There's no... Hey, I know Roger, therefore, you know, I get a promotion. That doesn't work. And so the thought of a meritocracy and also working with people you like.
Yeah,
and, you know, no egos. That's really our culture. You can feel it. You can see it. I don't think many people own three-piece suits anymore in our company, you know. And if we have to go somewhere at one, you'll see a lot of scrambling to get one. It's just not who we are.
Sure.
It's an extremely base value company.
Right.
And we try to be authentic and genuine, and I appreciate that. I'm 10 years later, I'm still there because
of that. Absolutely. And I know you got a great benefits program for your employees as well.
We have and Natasha, shout out to Natasha, who's you know, most people call her the benefits lady, but she's our head of benefits, and she does an amazing job making sure that you know, team members have everything they need. And especially I think about the introduction of things like mental health, you know, it's such a huge topic now.
Sure, right.
Used to not talk about it.
Yeah.
But now, you know, it's okay to not be okay.
Yeah.
And assistance with those things have been amazing, and I'm glad we had it.
Yeah, I know days I could have taken mental health days.
In the old days. I agree.
That wasn't a thing, but now
it
is.
No, you don't talk about it. But I couldn't be more proud of the way that's helping me.
Great. So let's talk about your other hat. You're on the diversity. You had the diversity committee at Penn. You know, diversity's taken kind of a hit recently.
Yes.
What is Penn's approach to that?
You know, Roger, I've been, if I, you know, I feel like my granddad and I, if I had a nickel but the amount of times I've been approached by people saying, hey, what are you going to do?
Right.
You know, if the kitchen is hot, right, you know, yeah. what are you going to do? You know, how are you guys going to shift? Should you do that? And my approach and Penn's approach and Jay's approach is, you know, if it's part of your culture,
yeah.
what is there to change? Yeah, is right. it a part of your culture or not?
Sure, right.
And I think what you saw was a lot of people right on the heels of George Floyd, it probably wasn't part of their culture.
Right, yeah.
And so they started creating these facades and these things and programs that, you know, it wasn't part of the culture. It wasn't baked in. So those things are easy to get rid of.
Yeah, right.
But we did it in such a way, and our approach was unique in that it was authentic. So we support the communities we work, play,
yeah.
operate in. We support HBCUs. Like, I think about Louisiana is a great right. example. We support Southern University with a STEM scholarship program. But guess what? We also do a lot with LSU.
Yeah. Right.
And guess
yeah.
what? They're both 15 minutes away from one of our major casinos.
Sure.
So our team members have gone to those schools. And so I think when you're authentic and genuine in that way, there's nothing to take away.
Right.
And
right.
You can extend that to all the things we do. And I think that our partner schools and they appreciate that because
right.
you're not going to get a check without me showing up.
Sure. Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know, and engaging us in different ways. And that's back to the, that's our culture. You
right.
know,
okay.
That's why we don't have a lot of things we put in place, and departments and all these other
sure.
things.
Right.
We created a council, and that really drives, you know, what we do, and we speak to people. We do
right.
these things called Days of Listening,
mm-hmm.
where we go throughout the entire company and just ask team members from the, you know, from the cleaners
right.
to the VPs, you know, what's important to you?
Right.
Anything on your mind?
Right.
And we boil all that information down, and that becomes our platform.
Right.
So,
yeah. And I know just from my knowledge of Penn employees, of Penn executives, whenever they walk through the casino or the hotel, they're always picking things up off the floor. They're always saying hello to the customers, and it's always a very positive way they approach their team members.
No, absolutely, Roger. I mean, you know, as much as I like to think I do okay, I'm not special, you know. So
sure.
yeah, the chair is going to get pushed in.
Yeah.
The trash is going to get picked up,
sure.
and that extends to the general managers of our businesses,
right.
you know, everyone, because you know we want you to actually like pulling
right.
in the driveway to go to work.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
we don't
right.
want you to be thinking about what time you leave and the minute you pull up.
Right. Right. Exactly. Well, Justin, thanks for coming by. It's really, really great to see you. As I said, we followed your career for a long time, and we know you're not finished yet. You've got other places to go, and you deserve it. You really, really become one of the stars in the industry, and we really want to stay in touch.
No, thank you, Roger. And I can't thank you enough, you know, personally and professionally. I think about all the years, even before, you know, I had fancy titles and stuff. You've also always been such an amazing and gracious and welcoming figure in this industry. Like I said, I can't
right.
thank you enough for who you are and what you mean to game.
And we appreciate what you're doing. You're on our advisory board for Emerging Leaders 40 Under 40. We just announced that class, and I'm sure you saw the list, and we got some incredible people.
Can't wait to meet them later on.
We have the ceremony this afternoon, so we'll see you there.
Thank you, Roger.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed today's podcast sponsored by Ice Barcelona, January 20th through 22nd, 2025 at Fira Barcelona Gran Via. Ice Barcelona is the complete platform to drive revenues through innovative solutions, technology, valuable insights, and unrivaled networking opportunities. To learn more, visit icegaming.com. To read more about the topics presented in this week's podcast, visit ggbmagazine.com. To subscribe to GGB's executive summary, go to ggbnews.com and sign up. Don't miss any edition of the GGB podcast. Subscribe on Spotify, Amazon, or Apple Podcasts today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB podcast.